Welcome to the Divorce Podcast, a podcast that aims to address divorce, separation, and co-parenting here in the UK, countering the often sensationalist way it's portrayed in the media, challenging the status quo, and driving for reform. On each episode, I'm joined by experts to discuss divorce, separation, and co-parenting from different angles and to give their opinions and to debate them. I'm Kate Daly, a relationship counsellor and divorce coach, co-founder of Amicable, the divorce services company, and host of this divorce podcast. In this episode, I was joined by Dr. Leila Hussein. Leila is a psychotherapist specialising in supporting survivors of sexual abuse. She's an international lecturer on female genital mutilation, speaker on gender rights, and founder of the Dahlia Project, the UK's first specialist therapeutic service for FGM survivors. I began this episode by asking Leila why she describes herself as happily divorced. We also explored her own divorce and its difficulties given her Somali heritage and her challenging marriage. I was really fascinated by the notion of hosting a divorce party, something as a society we tend to be hesitant to embrace. Welcome, Leila, and thank you for joining me on the Divorce Podcast.
Thank you so much. I really love being introduced like that. But it's also divorced. I'm happily divorced.
Very impressive career. Let's start, if I may, about talking about your own divorce. Leila, you describe yourself as happily divorced. What does that mean to you, and how did you achieve this wonderful status?
I think it goes back to having parents who were I was brought up in a house, parents who were absolutely in love with each other. So I came from a home where there was a strong marriage, strong partnership. I mean, no relationship's perfect, but I always sensed my parents' love for each other, that they were happy. I always associated marriage with happy. And when I got married quite young. I got married at 18, like literally just turned 18. And looking back, I remember I was not a happy teenager. Like, I was very depressed, not confident, hence why I always believed that you attract your own energies, hence why I attracted a relationship that was not healthy for me. And my parents were really confused, especially my father. Because he assumed, hey, we've given her a good example. Why is she in this? It was a very emotionally abusive relationship. Right. And so always associated the marriage with sadness and darkness and not being happy. And I remember I'm from the Somali community, so divorce is not seen as a good thing. And growing up in a Muslim family, divorce is not a good thing. My mother's very religious. And I remember her saying to me, she was actually in Islam, you know, God said, I created this big earth, you know, for you guys to unite, but also split to be happy. That's why I created this earth to be happy. So I never forgot that statement.
Right.
So I kind of took that with me. But what I noticed very early on, that happiness is always associated with when you're with someone, never when you leave someone. Yeah. So I noticed my happiness. I felt I was happier when I left the relationship. So, and what happened was I got my passport, which lasts for bloody 10 years, the year before I got divorced. So for 9 years, my passport says Mrs. So whenever I spoke at a conference, and so on the bio, it's always Mrs. So I always have to kind of declare myself. I'm like, hey, everybody, this is the wrong title.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm happily divorced. You could just see people feel uncomfortable. But I said, I guess I end up, you know, trained as a psychotherapist, you know, studying human behavior. There's something about being conditioned. So I'm trying to dismantle that title. Like, actually, for millions of people, divorce means freedom, happiness, joy. So for me, that's what it meant. You know, and my daughter was only 3 months. Actually, she was the reason I left that relationship, because I couldn't bring her up in that environment. So I wanted her to be happy and healthy. But that's what I proudly...
That's what you proudly extol. Well, why is it that we struggle with the notion of happily divorced? And like you say, you have a psychotherapeutic background. What is it that stops us from feeling that it's okay to be happy when you're divorced?
Well, because it's a shame associated with divorce. Mm-hmm. You know, if we go back a little bit, we look at this patriarchal system, you know, held by men for men. The women are just objects in that system, and as men are never shamed when it comes to divorce. It was the woman who's lost something, like she's lost. I mean, in some countries, divorce means you're losing a whole status. You know, there's parts of the world where women still don't have access to their children if they get divorced. They have no access to any assets. So for some people, genuinely, it means freedom, but it could also be something terrible. So there's a negative connotation, and you're accused of breaking a family if children are involved. So there's a negative connotation to it. Like, you know, I have so many, I've had in the past, I have so many clients who are adults who would say, you know, I wish my parents split up instead of staying together for the sake of the kids. Not realizing now they have adult kids, you know, I mean, adults who are now manifesting their traumatic childhoods. So for me, it was, I think it all starts with the foundation, right? So I always knew I didn't have to be in a relationship unless there was happiness and joy. It was something that was modeled by my parents. Mm. So that is what got me out of it, even though I came from a community where divorce is frowned upon, you know, and people just treated me. I remember a lot of my married Somali friends, they stopped being my friends. You literally are ostracized from the community.
Is that because you represent some kind of threat then, some destabilizing force that, you know, they might catch almost?
And not just a threat, not just to, oh God, there might be another way out of this. Yeah. You are seen as a threat to their husbands. Now you could potentially, yet again, you know, we are constantly called the weaker gender. Somehow we have this manipulative ways of kidnapping men from other women. So it's like, so it's this constant next. So I knew I had to own. And it was true. I'm a happily divorced woman. And I think many people should actually own that. And I think a lot of people are. You're scared to even admit to it. You have to always like pretend, you know, oh, yeah, I got divorced. You know,
you really have bad. To say it in that way, don't you? Exactly. Your voice have to pitch down. Oh, yeah, I got divorced.
Yeah. In case people judge you, that you literally want to get out of the situation. Yeah. I mean, no one would judge you if you got out of a hostage situation.
No.
For some people, marriage is like a situation of you've been kidnapped, you're a hostage in the situation. Once you leave, the relief, I remember the relief I felt the moment I said, I'm going to get a divorce. And luckily, I had, you know, my parents were absolutely supportive, especially my dad, my dad just never, you know, was never keen on this relationship. He was like, okay, well, let's make this happen. My ex made it very difficult for us to have the divorce because we were also married under the Islamic law, which is legal in the UK. So you have to go through that route to get divorced. So he has to sign the papers and wouldn't do it. He lived in the US. I lived in London and his family lives in Kenya. So my daughter was visiting his family. My mom was with her. He happens to be there. He didn't realize my mother had the papers with her. She was like, sign this now. Like, you're not going to keep her hostage. So I guess I had that. For some women, that's not necessarily the approach. I mean, I met women who got divorced and just didn't tell anyone. Because you just don't mention it to anybody.
Because of the shame, you mean? Because they feel too much stigma.
They feel too much stigma. Or some of them don't say a word in case the status, in the community, their status will change.
Right.
And some of them, I know, negotiated this with, you know, the person they divorced. Hey, you go off and be with other women that you wish. Just don't tell anyone you and I got divorced. Because it would really affect even like the corner shop she goes to would treat her differently.
Right.
So your whole life depends on them. So for me, it was claiming this was a way of taking the shame away from it.
Yeah, so it's your way of saying, I'm not going to feel ashamed. I'm not going to be told how to feel.
No.
For me, for my personal journey, this is a relief. It is a positive thing. It's a good thing. Absolutely. And I'm going to own that positivity.
Exactly. And it was freedom for me. It really was freedom.
Yeah,
I didn't have to live with emotional abuse that I was suffering with. That's freedom. And we need to call it out. What? I don't think people get married to leave. I don't think anyone goes into marriage saying, hey, I'm gonna leave you next year. Like I don't think any people do. I think people have good intentions when they're getting married, thinking we're gonna stay together. But that doesn't mean we have to be forced to stay there just because society tells us to.
Yeah. But do you think there's still a sense of failure that stalks people, even if it's a bad marriage and even if it's a marriage that hasn't sort of worked out how you anticipated or hoped or whatever? How do you get rid of, or how do you shake off that sense of having failed at something?
Do you know, if we go back to education, so we were taught about healthy relationships when we were in school, and we were told, hey, you might meet people who are toxic, who are going to be terrible to you. You might marry somebody that might be horrible. You leave. So if that was, again, it goes back to your foundation. I think the way we can avoid that now is actually really is incorporating this into healthy relationship classes in school, because that's what it goes back to, right? A lot of people suck at this because they're not happy or in healthy relationships. So for me, in order to make change, it's we have to really, next generations to come, healthy relationships in school has to be a must to tell. I mean, if you tell somebody, please leave horrible relationship, it's not okay. If you're taught at a very young age, I don't think a lot of, and we have to normalize divorce. Yes, get married. You know how we turned married, you know, weddings into a multi-billion-dollar business? Divorce should be the same. We should absolutely give it same intentions. If you're stuck in a certain situation, it's okay for you to leave. It's okay.
But I think it goes back to what you were saying before about the, you know, when parents say, oh, we stayed together because of the children, and then the children on the other hand are saying, well, that I didn't want them to stay together. All I used to sort of dream about was them splitting up and the end to the tension in the home. I think it comes down to what you model, doesn't it, as parents? Like you say, you were really lucky. You had parents modeling a really good, positive relationship. But if you're in a bad relationship, the idea that you model that to your children for, you know, a decade or more, just because you're under the idea that somehow that's better than creating two separate happy households, that doesn't seem to stack up, does it? But I think there's a bit of a shift and a bit of a journey still to go on for many societies and many cultures, where we have to get to the point where we can be more acceptant of, you know, two happy apart households is better than one together household that's unhappy.
I remember watching a documentary about Elizabeth Taylor. She was shamed for being divorced 9 times. But in her interview, she goes, darling, she goes, they were all great lovers. I wasn't going to stay in a horrible marriage. But she was shamed and stigmatized for having 9 marriages or 7 marriages, whatever she had, who actually had great time when they were great, but left when they were terrible. But somehow we shame this.
I mean, you've talked a lot about, you know, this idea of being happily divorced and happiness, and you've gone kind of almost a step further by talking about celebrating. So not just being happy and content with a divorce, but actually celebrating it. And you've talked about hosting divorce parties. Tell me a little bit about that then.
Well, some of my friends went through horrible marriages, and I could see the anxiety around wanting a divorce. Mm-hmm. So I just, why don't I start? The most uncomfortable thing society have told us not to. I thought, I remember one particular, me and my other friends, we hosted a friend's divorce. And I remember the cake said, what the hell were you thinking of? So we just called it out for what it is. And I really, I'm a great believer in manifestation. You know, when you get rid of something bad, you're creating a space for something good. And that particular friend, the most amazing human being came into her life, who she now has 2 kids with. Actually, when they got married, her second marriage, I loved the vows. It was one of the most amazing vows. The vows were not, you know, obey you and submit to me and all that stuff. It was, I'm going to love you until I can. Can we commit that we're going to make each other happy? Like, they made their own.
Right.
So it was so beautiful to, and again, you attract your own energy. So I think I met her when she was going through this divorce. She wanted to make a big change. And so it's become a thing amongst my friends. And I mentioned it to other people. And people would message me and tell me, hey, Layla, by the way, do you know what I have? Do you know what's so crazy? I threw parties for other people. I haven't had my divorce party yet. No one has hosted mine.
Tell me what a perfect divorce party looks like. What sort of things go into a divorce party, Layla?
For me, it's lots of cake, lots of bubbly, lots of, you know, cocktails, music. I like outdoor. I like being in a garden. Mm-hmm. I'm a lover of music. There has to be a DJ or somebody has to play good music. And good food. And then maybe sit in a circle and talk about why I left the relationship. We can actually acknowledge why I left that relationship. So I've been there. Yeah, even it's not just divorce, like even friends who were not even married, they were in long-term relationships. You know, relationships, a relationship when they left that relationship, we call it the separation, letting go or whatever, they can call it whatever. And, you know, and I like the symbolizing a moment in your life. And I think when you leave a relationship, you know, where you shared a child with somebody, you've been with someone for very long, and it meant a lot to you. I think it has to be. And I think I feel like that's how you let go. It's like acknowledging it, you let it go. You get angry about it, grieve it, and then you let it go. So I love the idea of a divorce party. I think it's great.
But it's like the one thing that we don't mark, isn't it? So we mark marriages, we mark funerals, we mark births, you know, we mark engagements, but we don't ever seem to mark the idea of, like you say, finishing a relationship and doing that in a positive way.
And my intention about the positive way is actually because I love the idea of love. I love having a relationship. So for me is you do this because you're letting go of this, then the other person can walk in knowing that you've let go of this as well. I think it's a healthy way. And it's crazy. I mean, I don't know. To the event planners out there, there's a market they really haven't tapped into. The divorce party is going to be a thing. I really feel it. Women have moved strides in the last few generations. You know, there are, like, I know in the Somali community, there's a discussion. Oh my God, you know, the divorce rates have gone off the roof. People are getting divorced. Somali women are getting divorced. I'm like, that's great. They're not stuck in those relationships anymore. They feel, they know they have the freedom to lead now. So I like when I hear there's a high rate of divorce, I don't think that's a bad thing. It just means people don't have to hang around for a terrible relationship. So we need to start changing the narrative, especially those who have brought children into these relationships. We absolutely need to look at the well-being of the kids.
Yeah. And it feels like there's a lot to do on that, doesn't there? Because we have a very sort of old-fashioned way of looking at how you deal or how you co-parent children after a divorce. And it strikes me that if divorce is going to become more prevalent just because relationship breakdown is going to become more prevalent because fewer people are marrying, more people are in cohabiting relationships, they're more likely to break down, we're living longer. If all of those things are feeding into effectively having less stable relationships or relationships that it's okay to leave and to move on from, then we have to get better at what happens when you have children in those relationships, because it's so important that there is stability for the children and there is a good way out of a marriage breakup for children at least.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, it's rechanging that narrative. You know, we want a well-being family. A well-being family looks like two people who get on, who are raising kids. A lot of my friends who were in horrible, horrible marriages for years, like 10, 15 years later. And when they finally leave and you say, why didn't you leave? And they say, because my parents taught me this behavior. And it's both sides. He stays because his parents told him that's the way, because he watched his parents do this. And now they've recreated that cycle of kids who are traumatized. Teenagers are very angry. It's this continuous cycle. But for me, again, this is what I said earlier, like we need to be teaching this as part of healthy relationship. You leave someone. You don't have to use the word divorce. Mm-hmm. If you're in a bad relationship, you leave. You have to leave. I mean, you remember when I was young when Princess Diana and Charles divorced.
Yeah.
It was like there was permission to go through.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? It's great. So the system makes it even harder for people to get divorced. Like here in Kenya, if you get divorced, you can't keep that land as a woman.
Right.
The land goes directly to your sons. The women can't keep the land. It's shocking. Unless you buy it for yourselves, you won't keep it. Like in the Somali community, if you get divorced in Somalia, I'm talking about not in the UK, in Somalia, if a woman divorces her husband, if she can't look after the child financially, it automatically goes to the father.
Right.
But you're already putting her in a situation where she has no choice. So, so a lot of them can't leave because they financially cannot look after their kids. So they are. That's why we had a high rise of Somali divorces when they migrated to the West. Because in the West, the women have a benefit system, social system that could support them.
Yeah.
So now they don't. They actually called it, I remember, the black bin phase, where the women just put the man's clothes in a black bin and throw it out. It was a whole movement that happened like late 90s, I remember hearing these stories. Oh, she so-and-so threw a bin bag. She finally threw her husband out of the house because they finally had access to money, access to a house.
Yeah.
So she couldn't be controlled anymore.
Well, so they had choice, you mean? The same with all cultures and societies, isn't it? There comes a point where equality reaches a place where genuine choice is available and people can make the choice to stay because it's a good relationship, rather than stay because they need the relationship to economically survive.
Yep, absolutely.
You talked a little bit there about the sort of Somalian culture and how it's viewed when women are the instigators of divorce, but you instigated your divorce, didn't you? How was that?
I mean, the Somali community, no, let me clarify, Somali community, a woman should never instigate the divorce. Mm-hmm. It's always the men who divorce the women. Like a woman, she should be lucky that she has a man. So you really, that's not even an option. So I instigated the divorce because, so he lived in the US. I went there. Mm-hmm. And I got pregnant one of them. I got really ill. By then, him and I were married for like over 3 years at this point. Mm-hmm. I got really sick while I was there. So my father said, come back to the UK. Just until your pregnancy, until you get stronger during your pregnancy, you can stay with us. I really was just so homesick. And I actually genuinely, I got so ill. I needed 24-hour care with somebody and he was working. So I came back to the UK and you don't even know you're in an abusive relationship until you leave.
Yeah.
And I was there for a month. I was supposed to go back a month later. I didn't go back. I kept extending my flight. Didn't go back. And then one night I just started crying to my dad. And I said, because he said, what you keep getting panic attacks every time you mention going back. So I said, Dad, I don't want to go back. And like I said, I don't want to go back to this relationship. But as soon as I said that, everybody, not my, because sometimes it's not even your parents. As soon as I don't want to be, everybody's like, no, let's wait until the baby's born. Da, 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 let's wait. So I thought, okay, then let's see if something changes. And then when actually my daughter, seeing my daughter's face and remembering that I didn't grow up in a house where my parents hated each other. Hmm. And that really was the reason I was like, oh, I don't care. And I was lucky I had parents who were going to support me. Even though people really treated me differently. That's what I'm saying. The foundation is so important. Mm. Every parent's going to teach them their kids that. But if you teach that school, the school we have that access. Every child has the equal to learn. So for me, that's really what helped me. I already had a foundation where I knew I had support from my parents, especially my male family member, because he holds a high, you know, very strong position. Mm. And so that's really why it was really, I didn't want my daughter growing up in the environment. And now she does, she really, really appreciates that now. Because she, you know, she went through her own thing where she was like, why did you leave? And how come I never had dad in the house? Mm-hmm. And blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, I mean, he wasn't around at the beginning of her childhood. You know, we connected a couple of years ago. And she now looks at me, she's like, oh my God. She goes, yeah. She goes, it would have been a disaster if you two lived together.
She can recognize that. What do you say to people, Layla, who maybe don't have that kind of, you've clearly got a really supportive, lovely family, but if you haven't got that kind of family backup and that family support, and you're the one who wants to initiate the divorce, what gets you over the line, do you think?
I think it's having the right people around. I think it's a support system. I mean, if you're in the UK, there's so many organizations, if you're going through something like that, that you can go to. I mean, I would say go to a therapist first. Mm. You really need to build yourself up. If you don't have the right, system around, you need to literally build yourself strong enough to break this news. Divorce is never an easy process because society made it so difficult. That's why, for me, just think about the party you're going to have after. Treat yourself when you make that decision.
Really to keep your eye on the future prize.
Absolutely. Think about why you're doing this. Always go back to why. Because you don't just leave. If you have, you don't say, oh my God, I'm in such a happy, loving relationship. I'm going to leave. Like, I don't think that's what happens. People leave for a reason. But I think, again, and I keep going back to our education system. I think if our government wants to do something really useful, make sure that's in our school curriculum. And I know I'm still not clear if sex and health education is now compulsory. I know it was made compulsory and then the school has to request it. I don't even know why we have to make it so difficult. That should be like maths and English and science in school. Mm. But the three things we need when we leave school, we don't have a clue. Healthy relationships, how to look after our finances, how do you look after your well-being? Like no one teaches us this.
Yeah.
If those things we were taught very early on, I might leave a difficult relationship. I might, you know, I'll know how to have money. And then to look after myself, it's like that has to change. We have to really change that. It's really, it makes me sad. I mean, now we have social media who's made marriage another system. Everybody's posting about their healthy, their fake happy relationships. Mm. See, now I've heard people say, oh, I'm scared to get divorced because, you know, I have a social media presence.
Wow.
Like these are social influencers whose brand has become.
Yes, their marriage.
Their relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they can't leave.
Yeah. It goes back to the same thing, being economically trapped, doesn't it?
Exactly.
It's not property or, you know, the loss of property or children anymore. It's like you say, it's the loss of your support base or your fan base and therefore your commercial opportunity.
Exactly.
Mm. It's fascinating. And what about just briefly, because we're nearly at the end of time, but what do you think has been your huge lessons post-divorce? What's made you able to turn around and say, I'm happily divorced? What are the things post-divorce that have really, you know, cemented that you've made a good decision to move on?
Oh, one, I went back to university, got my education. Mm-hmm. That relationship, he made me drop out of school. So I got my education. I'm financially independent. And my daughters are, I mean, hey, she's like any other, I mean, she's 19 now. She's a happy young woman who has her other struggles, but she actually always says, I'm so glad that you didn't bring me up in that environment.
Mm.
I've been so bad, mummy. She goes, always, like, she goes, I'm glad you brought. And she now actually started to have a very good relationship with her dad. So I'm glad I made that decision because it could have been so devastating. Like, she's at that age, you know, when wants to date, and I already see some of the stuff that she, the risk factors she looks at, guys. Mm. I'm like, oh, you were talking to this guy, what happened? She goes, oh no, mom, you know, he was, I could see some of his behaviors were very controlling and he was trying to, like, so I could see the stuff that I couldn't pick up on, she picks up on it very early on. So that if I got divorced, just, I mean, hey, and I let me tell you, divorce parties are much better than the bridal showers that I've attended. There's a sense of freedom that you're literally celebrating on another level, where, you know, bridal showers, like, hey, you kind of anticipate what's going to happen in this marriage, but a divorce, you kind of know what happened. Like, you know what you came out of and what you survived, and you got something to look forward to.
I think I've been divorced quite a long time, but I think I might retrospectively get you to organize my divorce party. It sounds like it sounds like a rite of passage that I've somehow missed out on.
I knew I shouldn't have been in that marriage when I got married. So I really did enjoy my wedding. Looking back on it, I was actually quite a miserable day. But if I had a divorce party, I think I'll have a better time.
Listen, Leila, it's been absolutely fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing your sort of positive reworking of the narrative of divorce. It's what we're all about here on the Divorce Podcast. So it's been a real treat to listen to you. Thank you. Where can people find out more about the work that you do?
So you can go on my Twitter at Leila Hussein, Instagram at Leila Hussein UK, LinkedIn, Leila Hussein. If you go on my website, you get to follow my work, www.leilahussein.co.uk. So you'll see all the work that I'm doing. I'm involved in so many things.
You are. Here you are. Your biography just reads like a who's who of good causes.
Yeah. So please go and go to my website. You'll see the work that I'm doing. Actually, at Dahlia Project, we have a link page where we're raising funds for the clinic for the FGM survivors. So it would be great if you can, you know, people can donate to the Dahlia Project. So yeah, that's me.
That's fabulous. Thank you. And of course, you can find out a bit more about me on Twitter. I'm at Kate_Daly. You can hear more about new podcast episodes by following at divorce_podcast. And you can also listen to more of these podcasts and subscribe for updates by visiting thedivorcepodcast.com. Leila, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much indeed. And thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone.